And we are back. Hello, everyone. This is the first podcast episode in 20 days. How have you been? I hope you're having a wonderful March. This is Azrin here, owner of the Calgary Language Nerds, and welcome to today's podcast episode. Today, I'd like to tell you about a conversation I had with a current Calgary Language Nerds student. She was telling me that in her classes, she's been switching the focus with her teacher to doing more conversation. Previously, the classes were a little bit more structured. They would do some reading or some listening, a little bit of conversation. Now, they're transitioning in the classes to actually doing some more free-flowing conversation. And she told me that this makes her nervous. Probably some of you can relate. Because when it comes to talking to a native speaker, whether it's your instructor, a stranger, a friend, doesn't really matter. When it comes to talking to someone, it can be nerve-wracking. You know, we have a Chinese or an Asian grocery store here in my city. And in this grocery store, they sell what's called jianbingguozi. Jianbingguozi is basically a Chinese crepe. So you take a crepe, you put some eggs, put some meat, put some sauce, put some veggies, wrap it up, eat it. It's really delicious. I like it. And every time I go to order one, I want to order in Mandarin, but I'm scared to do so. I have the language ability to do so. I definitely know all the words to order my food. When they say, whoa, you speak Chinese, where did you learn? I know how to answer the question. And yet, I'm terrified. There's something about that unstructured, free-flowing conversation that's scary for people, me included. In French, I get self-conscious. In fact, you'll notice I don't make a lot of content in other languages. There are a number of reasons for it. One of it is partially, at least in part, it's strategic for my business. It's a business decision. But one reason is also the fact that I feel more nervous making content in other languages. There's something about this free-flowing style of speech, which is what I do in these podcasts, for example. It's scary. It's scary to do that kind of free-flowing speech in another language. So the Calgary Language Nerds student was telling me this. She's like, oh my God, this is something that is hard for me and very scary for me. She also has a trip coming up to the country that speaks the language that that she's learning. And she's going to be immersed in that culture, immersed in that language. So she'll be doing all sorts of free-flowing conversation while she is abroad. And I want to share a couple of things that came up in our conversation that were helpful to her and also helpful, hopefully are helpful to you. So the first thing that she mentioned to me, the student, is that when she's in her classes, often she gets frustrated because she tries to say something, doesn't know how, and then reverts to English. So she wants to say, oh, today was a really great day because I got to go for a hike and go bird watching and see these lovely birds. That's not what she said, nothing to that effect at all, but I'm making it up. Well, maybe that's what she wants to say, but then she doesn't know how to say bird watching or lovely birds or I went out in nature. Maybe she doesn't know all those words. So then she gets stuck and then says the sentence in English. So that's the loop that she's in. Wants to say something, doesn't know all the words, reverts to English. Wants to say something, doesn't know all the words, reverts to English. And it's this loop that I find a lot of language learners are in. So the key here, and if you can relate to that, is to break that cycle. Break the cycle. How do you do that? Well, it's easy. When you don't know how to say something, instead of reverting to English, ask yourself, can I change the words in my sentence to say something similar using different words? So instead of saying, I went out in nature to see these lovely birds and I saw blah, blah, blah birds today. Instead of saying that, could you say you went out for a walk? Could you say, oh, the weather is beautiful today and I'm very happy about it? Could you say something that's maybe not exactly the same meaning, but something that is at least similar, somewhat similar to what you wanted to say? And then say that instead. Something else that came up in our conversation as well is understand that there's nothing wrong with pausing mid-conversation to look up a word or a phrase on your phone or in a dictionary. Quick story. When I had a Mandarin class earlier today, my Mandarin classes are very, very conversational. I stopped during my Mandarin class to look up approximately 10 different words throughout the class. Things I wanted to say, couldn't think of the word, so I stopped to look up what it meant. Or maybe the teacher would use something, I didn't quite understand it, so I would look it up literally on the spot in front of my teacher. That's perfectly acceptable. You can even do that in a non-class scenario. You're talking to someone in real life, a real conversation, not in class, in the real world. There's something you want to say but don't know how. Take out your phone, take out a dictionary, and look up what you don't know how to say. So my personal process is usually something like this. My go-to strategy is to try and find something similar to say that is not exactly what I wanted to say, but it's similar. That's the go-to strategy. I'll try to do that first. But if I can't do it, it's like, huh, I don't even know anything similar. I don't know how to say something similar. Or maybe I really want to say specifically what I want to say because it's important, right? Then I will go take out my phone and I'll look up the words needed to say the thing that I want to say. And yeah, it pauses the conversation for 20 seconds, 30 seconds. Yep, that happens. But it's not a big deal. That's perfectly acceptable to do that. I've done this for 16 years, and I continue to do it today. The third thing that came up, which was very meaningful to the student I was talking to, was just the question of why is she feeling nervous? She specifically said, oh man, that question of why I'm feeling nervous, that's something I'm really taking away from this conversation. She said that because she speaks another language to at least some degree of proficiency. I don't know exactly how fluent. I don't think she's bilingually fluent by any means, but she speaks another language to a certain extent. And she said that when she speaks that language, she doesn't feel nearly as afraid as when she speaks the language that she's currently learning. And she's like, huh, that's really weird. It's not like I always feel nervous. I only feel self-conscious in this particular language that I'm learning now, but not other languages. Huh, that's really weird. So it's something for you to think about. Are you afraid of making a mistake? Are you afraid of freezing up? Are you afraid, she said in our conversation, she's afraid of switching to English. That's her fear. She doesn't want to switch to English. So different people have a different fear. And it's important. One thing to ask yourself is, well, what are you afraid of? So I'll give a personal example for me. When it comes to, let's say, a Mandarin, okay, let's go back to ordering food in that particular grocery store that I like to go to sometimes. Well, when I'm ordering my Chinese crepe, one of the main reasons I'm hesitant is because I'm afraid that the other person is going to say something I won't understand, and then I will have to say, I don't understand. That's what I'm afraid of. Literally that. They say something, I don't understand, and then I have to say, oh, I'm sorry, I don't understand. That's it. That's the thing I'm afraid of. It hurts my pride to have to say, I don't understand. Because I've been learning Mandarin for 9-10 years. I should understand at this point in my mind. I tell myself that, right? Or, oh, they're going to judge me, I'll think, because I didn't understand. I have so many associations. I don't know why. I'm literally realizing it now. Literally right now. I don't think I realize it till the second. In every language, I really don't like not understanding what the person says. And if I don't understand and I don't know the person, I will not reveal that I didn't understand because it hurts my ego. I think I've been through too many circumstances where someone says something, I don't understand. They go, oh, you don't understand. And I almost see a look of pity in their face. And then they go, okay, fair enough. And they either switch to English if they do speak English and I feel like a failure, or they just don't know what to do about it. And they maybe reject you socially, not in a mean way, but they just don't talk to you as much. And that kind of sucks. I don't want to have that social rejection. I want to be part of the conversation, part of the group, right? And it's just being aware of where it's coming from so you can navigate that. You can navigate the situation accordingly, right? So anyway, let's wrap that up here. Hope you guys found that podcast helpful, useful. If you have any comments, questions, whatever it is, you know where to find me. azarinthelanguagenerd.com/contact. All my social media platforms are there. You can also just email me directly from that link right there. Have a great day. We'll chat later. Bye-bye. See you.